Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast series Breaking Borders, exclusively part of Oslo Innovation Week 2021, brought to you by Goodwill. In today's episode, we welcome Sine Fossbudal, the UK country manager of Norwegian startup and scale-up Nofence. We talk about agriculture, Nofence's expansion journey to the UK, and the importance of sustainability in tech solutions. Let's go.
Welcome everyone to this Breaking Borders podcast, recorded as part of Oslo Innovation Week. We're joined here by Sine from Norwegian startup and scale-up Nofence. I'm James, Marketing Manager at Goodwill.
And I'm Kevin, CFO here at Goodwill. So James, I know that you and your role as Marketing Manager at Goodwill have been involved with Oslo Innovation Week for a number of years. Sine, how does it feel for you to be involved for this first time?
It's true, it is my first time and I'm really excited. I think what excites me the most is to see people in the same kind of boat as I am at the moment. Startup and skill at work can be a bit lonely when you're on your own and time is running away from you. So exciting to see what else is going on in Norway and chat to some people.
Cool, perfect. I mean, from my perspective, it's a great platform to promote Oslo and the whole of Norway. Obviously, you're not Oslo Basin, so promote the whole of Norway to the wider world. There's a lot of press and media I know involved this year as well, so I'm sure there'll be some great exposure for Nofence as a result of this. As part of this episode, we want to hear a bit more about Nofence's growth journey in Norway over recent years, your scale-up plans for the UK market, and then how you're looking to bring those sustainable solutions and disrupt an industry which has for generations remained unchanged.
Yeah, my name is Sine and I am, at the moment, the general manager of Nofence UK. So I run the UK branch for Nofence. And I got involved with Nofence a couple of years ago now, feels longer. I came home from doing my undergrad in Exeter in the UK and I was looking for a job. And by coincidence, I came over this article about Nofence. And then I understood sort of what the product was. And I thought, this is amazing. I need to give them a call. So I ended up calling the CEO at the moment and I said to myself before I called, I'm not going to accept not being invited over for a visit. So I ended up inviting myself over for a visit, borrowed my parents' car and drove down and had a chat with Eric because they didn't have any open positions at the moment. I said, I so badly want to join you. And then after a couple of weeks, I was actually offered a job in the sales team. I bought my first car and moved to this remote place when you're born in and have only lived in a city. Moving to where the main office is, which is on the northwest coast of Norway, it's a bit of a change with 300 people compared to a city. But I thoroughly enjoyed it and I got the chance to speak to a lot of Norwegian farmers during my first year. And then I was offered the chance to take the UK expansion on, which I have enjoyed a lot.
Why was it that you were so keen to get the position at Nofence?
The pure innovation in the product sort of. You can see electrical fencing and you're thinking, well, that hasn't seen an update since the 70s, really. Mm. And now this is coming along and it's Norwegian based, which I loved as well. And then I think my engagement is with the climate and environment and how we owe future generations to do everything in our power to help battle climate change. Mm. And livestock plays an important role in our ecosystem and they need to be outside doing what they're meant to do, which is grazing. The ease of grazing when you look at Nofence compared to standard fencing is just miles apart, really. I want to be part of that. So that's where it started.
And in terms of the product, how revolutionary is it in terms of competitors and are you the only ones doing it?
So we're the only ones commercial at the moment, as we know, but we have competitors in Australia, New Zealand and the US, but they seem to be in early development stages. Yet we don't know too much about them. And I think, you know, we need more people working on this to get it better. Competition is good.
In terms of the Nofence product itself, how is that in terms of its development? Is it fully fledged and working or is it continuing to be developed further?
Oh, it's been developed for years now. So a lot of people, when they see us, they think, all right, this is brand new. But, you know, Oscar has been doing this since early 2000s. And it started out with him being a simple kind of goat farmer in Norway and wanting to change his everyday life because he was sick of fencing. And so he started doing this. And it's always been developed from a livestock and a farmer's perspective. So when I started in Nofence, we were about 16, 17 people, and more than half of them had their own animals or livestock. The product development has been sort of positively affected by the fact that a lot of them are farmers. And the product is in constant development. The hardest bit was definitely to get a flexible and reliable fencing solution. But we have that, so now we can start building all the fun stuff.
I mean, from my side, I know how it works practically, but maybe if you want to give an overview, just a minute or so to listeners.
Yeah, so NoFence is a GPS-based system. So we put a collar on animals, and then we draw pastures in an app on our phone. And what happens is when the animal approaches the boundary or crosses the boundary, they get an audio warning telling them you've crossed your boundary, you need to turn around. So we teach the animals to turn around on the audio cue, and if they don't turn around, they have an electric pulse. Mm. So I normally talk of it as, if you compare it to a standard electric fence, an electric fence uses the vision of the cow, so the cow can see the fence and use that to avoid the discomfort of touching it. But now we use the listening skills. And the listening skills are really good in the dark.
I guess it's non-invasive in the sense that it doesn't harm the animal in any way.
No. And, you know, I think we know that because we can see the number of audios and the number of pulses and we can compare. And that shows us that the animals know what they're doing so they can turn around.
In terms of the product then now, so it's live in use in Norway. Where else in the world?
Yeah, so we're based in Norway, is obviously our biggest market because that is where we started. And in Norway, we're all the way from the south end to the north end and anything in between, really. We're in Europe. And then, of course, where I am, which is the UK and Ireland.
What's the proportion of take-up for the NoFence product or similar products in Norway versus in mainstream traditional fencing methods?
Oh, in Norway, it's becoming as common as traditional fencing. I think it really depends on your setup and how you do your farming. So for some farmers, it's no fence or nothing. And for other farmers, they can get away with other types of fencing. So I think it really depends on how you decide to use the product, because the value is not from product itself, but how you use it.
And whilst it's quite early in the UK for you, how receptive are UK farmers to no fence?
So UK farmers, the nice thing about the UK is that farmers are far ahead, actually. So agriculture in the UK is far ahead. And I think the British government has said something that they're going to be world leading in technology and agriculture. It sort of shows how adaptive they are. And I think for us, the first entry point in the UK was organisations doing conservation grazing, because they have a setup where they're not allowed to put up fencing to disturb the ground. And so it was no fence or no other alternative. We're in a position now where we're helping to keep the British countryside open so that people can enjoy it. And now we're seeing more farmers pick up as well, so conventional farmers.
And then in terms of your expansion, obviously, you were active in the UK. I know you set up here, was it last year? I think it was that you set up. You were active in the UK. I think you had some customers already selling in from Norway. So I think you've relocated as well to the UK as part of that expansion.
Yeah, I have. So I have relocated with my partner. So we currently live in the UK. Obviously, I lived there before, so I don't mind. And then we have a limited company, which could really help us set up. And we're based in the Agri Epicenter outside of Harper Adams. So we're close to a lot of really interesting people, which is nice.
Did you feel like you had to be in the UK to really get like a hold on the market, or what was the reason for coming here?
Personally, that it's very much a value to be present in person, because I can easily connect the dots with our experiences from Norway and how our farmers behave and how what we need and what we don't need. And to have someone present, especially when you're in sort of, we don't have necessarily the processes and people who can do sort of the HR and the admin and everything. Mm. And to have someone who knows no fence, at least to start with, I think that helps us keep the speed that we want to keep. And yeah, that's where we're at now.
For the listeners' benefit, just so they know, you are Norwegian, aren't you? I know the accent. You've been in the UK for a little while, so.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Too many years in the UK, so more.
It's a slightly more English accent than James or I have.
Yeah.
It certainly confused me when I first spoke to you. I'm sure you're Norwegian and you are Norwegian.
Yeah.
So in terms of markets for NoFence then, obviously, Norway, President, UK, where else do you have lined up?
Yeah, I think the big English-speaking countries is definitely the main interest. But the nice thing about the UK, it is a trampoline into the bigger markets for us. So we're hoping to have a trampoline effect into the US, into Australia, New Zealand. But then, you know, like we say, normally if you have soil, then you can use NoFence. Really no limit to the outreach and how many can use it. And we have interest from all over the world, Asia, South Africa, South America, but we are focusing on sort of the English-speaking countries and also Europe, obviously. So we're rolling out a lot of products now in Europe
From a business perspective, obviously you've moved to the UK, you're there right now. How was that expansion funded and how do you see the funding working going forward as you move into potential other territories?
Yeah, I think the funding is going to be a key part and we need the right people to join us because expansion is not a simple process. It takes often more resources and time than you think. And especially for a product like ours, there's a lot of people who are keen on the idea and they can kind of see the benefit, but then do they trust the fact that it works? And I think UK, we have real experience, sort of the fact that we're foreigners. So although the UK likes to think of Norway as, oh, look at what Norway's doing, we can do the same. But then in Norway, everyone knows us, you know, and every farming community in Norway is small and we know each other and everyone kind of knows Oscar, the founder, and knows that he's been doing this for 4 or 5 years and everyone has a neighbor who does no fence. And now I'm trying to tell UK farmers, all right, you can stop doing fencing, which you've done your whole life, and you can do this instead. And it's a change for them. I normally say animals, they need a couple of days to learn the system. Farmers, a couple of months.
There's a whole exercise of removing the fences that they've currently got in place. So is it kind of a bit of a build to it?
Yeah, no, and it is a combination of things. And I think the main hurdle is for people to trust the fact that you can have, you know, you can have arable land and leave your livestock on the other side without any physical barriers and they won't go into your arable fields, which is...
Trusting is key, isn't it, as you say? And once you get a few on board, it's just hopefully the momentum grow and grow and grow. A bit like you've described it as being in Norway, where everybody knows how it works and it becomes, hopefully, for you, the norm.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and that plays into sort of the funding because getting that, building that trust quickly enough takes resources. And we need to run field days. We need to go to events. We need to have a lot of people who can speak to farmers, host webinars and do all this work to build trust. And I think it's also very nice for us to be based in the UK to build that trust with people. We're present. We have an office. Drop by if you're nearby this summer and come and say hi, you know, and it builds a relation with the farmers, which I think they enjoy.
No, definitely. I mean, it's probably like that in agriculture worldwide, but certainly I think in the UK, people need to feel that human connection as part of it as well.
Do you ever have that piece of livestock which just doesn't go with the electric pulse and is just against it? Or have you managed to tame them all?
I've heard of one, but that was a goat, and that is a herd instinct thing. So the goat was very close to the humans. So it would cross the poles to stay with the humans, which is the only one I've heard of. But no, we can contain any animal.
Okay, so if we specifically talk about the sustainability piece, obviously it's something which you've already mentioned that you're passionate about, one of the reasons why you were so keen to join NoFence. I guess there's a growing interest in sustainability generally around the world and people's decisions to choose sustainable solutions. Agriculture, you've mentioned, is open to new technology. Is something sustainability an area which they're keen to improve on?
I think so. I think definitely. I think most farmers are in sort of, they want to see better outcomes of their production. And if you sort of change to a management system where you manage your grazing in a better way, instead of just leaving them out on this huge piece of land all summer, you divide it into paddocks and then you move them. You increase your weight gain, grass growth, and then you increase the bottom line and you help improve the environment. And I think there's farmers who are on sort of the economic side and there's farmers who are on the sustainability side. And they're pushed by the UK government now, which is pushing for more sustainable food production. They're willing to take that step, which is really nice to see. And I get the opportunity every day to speak to British farmers who want to pick up better management to help improve the grasslands. And that is sort of my perspective on the red meat is a bit polarized in terms of the understanding of the climate. But I think the key to understand is photosynthesis and how can we take the carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere and put it in the soil. And livestock plays a role in that. And it's really interesting to see now all the research and everything that's happening towards more sustainable agriculture.
So it sounds like almost, dare I say, and I don't like this phrase, but I'm going to use it. It's a bit of a win-win for farmers once they click.
Yeah.
Because it helps on the economic side and it also helps in terms of the environment as well.
Definitely. And I think the direction it has to go to help farmers make that change. And for some farmers, they've done that without no fence. So they've done it with moving temporary electric fencing twice a day, every day. But now we can do it on your phone. And when it's raining at night, they can give the animals access to shelter over their phone instead of putting their wellies on and walking out in the field and doing it in the dark. In terms of that, it's pretty life-changing. And also, I think we as a society have a responsibility to help farmers in their work-life balance because we've just accepted that they work 365 days a year 12 hours a day. And we need farmers every day, and we should allow them, you know, proper rest and a healthy life-work balance.
What is it about the Nordics, do you think, that it is that keeps bringing out revolutionary technology, like disruptive technology that's changing industries? We've got a lot of Nordic clients, and they always seem to have something new. And I know when I spoke to Nofence last year, I was really excited. It's an industry which I personally know nothing about. But when I heard about it and how it was going to change the industry, I was genuinely really excited. So what is it about the Nordics, do you think, that's doing it?
From a Norwegian, from Nofence perspective, we're in a position where we have, in Norway, we have so much land, but it's just impossible to fence. Almost all good ideas, they spring out of a need. Yeah. So we saw the need to change a way of doing farming, and you see farmers kind of not utilizing what's outside of the closest kind of cultivated land around the farm, but there's so much mountain area, there's so much woodland, only kind of livestock can utilize, but we've taken the animals back because we can't deal with the fencing. And that's where it comes from. And I think the real benefit of it is that there is almost no tougher conditions than Norway in that sense, in terms of the weather, in terms of the climate, in terms of mountains, rocks. I always get asked in the UK, how do you deal with rough grazing? And I'm like, not a problem. Rough grazing in Norway is so much rougher than what you see in the UK. The land is almost flat, and, you know, yeah, there is a couple of trees, but go to Norway and have a look. I think that's where it comes from, really. And we also have a rich country in terms of our natural resources, which has given us, you know, a sustainable income that we can use to develop new technology. And I think a thanks to that is also in sort of the Norwegian management of the natural resources to make sure that funds go back towards developing new, more sustainable technology.
I guess that you've proven the product works in Norway, then the UK should be relatively easy based on the land, as you said.
Definitely. And I think the nice thing about the UK as well is that farming isn't actually that different. So farmers have approximately the same herd sizes, maybe a bit bigger in the UK. And the only thing we've sort of seen a change in is that management of the grazing, where UK farmers are far ahead because they have a limited access to land and then they need to shift their animals often. And we just need to make that functionality as good as we possibly can so that farmers get back what they need to get back, which is more weight gain and better grass growth.
And an easier life, so they get that
definitely
rest that they so desperately need.
Yeah, they do deserve a bit of rest.
Obviously, living in the UK at the minute, I guess you've been watching Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah, we have had a bit peak of it, yeah. And I know you should have virtual fences, Clarkson. You were doing well.
The cattle and the livestock just keep going over his fences. So,
yeah.
I'm waiting for the episode. Series 2, I'm sure you'll be featured in it. No pressure.
Yeah, yeah. We will.
That'll be some great exposure for you, I'm sure.
So finally, Sinnott, and for everybody who's been listening for the past 20 or so minutes, who's inspired you? I mean, you're clearly very passionate about what you're doing and what Nofence are doing. Where does your inspiration come from?
Well, my inspiration, I think, I'm not going to say a specific person, but in my every working day, I think it's the people that I speak to. So when I speak to a farmer in the UK who is willing to invest so much in me and our company and has faith in what we do and how the farmer is taking responsibility to change its management to improve the climate, one of those, I can run on that for weeks, you know, because it feels so good, the fact that they're willing to trust. And I can understand that it's a massive leap for them. And, you know, that inspires me when people want to change because human nature tells us not to.
I think that's fantastic. I think if I was a farmer and you were telling me this story, I would be signing on the dotted line right now.
Okay, great. Really nice to meet you, Sinner. Really good
to hear
about Nofence's journey to the UK. Great again, part of Oslo Innovation Week. We'll leave it there. And thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the podcast Breaking Borders, exclusively part of Oslo Innovation Week. This series is brought to you by Goodwill. We've helped thousands of overseas companies enter, grow, and scale in the UK by providing a number of different business solutions, including corporate governance, finance, HR, payroll, and virtual office, so the scale-up can focus on their core business. Read more about what we do and if we can help you on goodwill.com. We'll see you in the next episode.